Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to think of a time when you have felt lonely. Perhaps you were supposed to have plans with someone, but they canceled on you, leaving you alone. Perhaps you just arrived at college or just moved to a new city, and you haven't made any friends yet, and so suddenly you miss everyone you left behind. Perhaps you had just had a long-term relationship, whether friendship, marriage, or otherwise, end, and you didn't know what to do or where to turn. Or perhaps you might even have had your so-called friends turn their backs on you, rejecting you for something that wasn't even your fault. Well, that latter example is a good picture of what is happening in our Old Testament reading today from Jeremiah chapter 15, both for Judah as a nation, and even more for Jeremiah himself. But before we can look closer at the text, we need to establish some of the context, most of which I hope everyone can remember from previous times when we've looked at this particular stage in Israel's history. At the time of Jeremiah, Israel and Judah are both in very bad shape. The northern kingdom of Israel had just been utterly annihilated, destroyed, wiped from the face of the map, the people scattered throughout the Assyrian Empire, and the land repopulated with pagans just within one lifetime before them. Assyria had rolled in just before Jeremiah's time and taken all of the Israelites captive, scattering them through the Assyrian Empire, repopulating Israel and Samaria with pagan Gentiles, and so they're left as a shell of their former self. Well, lest we think that Israel has had it the worst, the southern kingdom of Judah hasn't had it much better off. They've endured sieges and invasions over and over throughout their history, no time more so than the last couple of centuries, ping-ponging back and forth between Assyria, Babylon, and Egypt as little more than a pawn in the power struggles of these greater nations. At this time, Judah is nearing its end as an independent kingdom, with a besieging Babylonian army staring them down across their fortifications. And all of this is Israel's and Judah's fault. Judah has rejected God entirely. They've taken and begun to worship the false idols of Assyria and Babylon. Oh, sure, they still pay lip service to the true God, the God of their forefathers, who gave them this land in the first place and has protected and preserved them for the last 1,000+ years. But it is nothing but a show of false piety to simply a part of their culture of appeasing this God. And unlike the gods of the nations who don't care about or know the intentions of the heart, the true God knows exactly what Israel and Judah are thinking, what the Judeans desire. Judah has rejected God, so God has returned the favor and rejected them. Looking back at the beginning of Jeremiah chapter 15, Jeremiah records from God that God says, "Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my heart would not turn towards this people." Moses and Samuel, the two of the greatest prophets in the history of Judah, even they couldn't turn back God's wrath. "Send them out of my sight," God continues, "and let them go. And when they ask you, where shall we go? You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, those who are for pestilence, to pestilence, those who are for the sword, to the sword, those who are for famine, to famine, those who are for captivity, to captivity. Judah rejects God, God rejects Judah, and Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, is caught in the middle. Jeremiah had been called by God as a prophet to warn Judah away from their sins. He urges them to repent, to return to God, promising that God will indeed relent if they simply repent. He assures them that if they submit to Babylon as God commands them to, then they will survive. And yet, even as he prophesies to them, he knows full well that they are not going to obey. They are still going to reject God. Judah is far too recalcitrant as sinners, too set in its evil ways, to pay any heed to the word of a true prophet of the true God. In fact, they try over and over throughout Jeremiah's ministry to have him killed for his message of repentance and the promise of restoration after they submit to Babylon. And yet, despite all of this, Jeremiah still grieves for his people, weeping for their impending destruction, even as he knows it is their own fault that it is happening. No wonder Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And so with all of this in mind, let's take a closer look at our reading, verses 15 through 21 of Jeremiah 15, at how Jeremiah speaks to God, as well as God's response to Jeremiah. He starts, "O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, take me not away. Know that for your sake I bear reproach." The Lord knows Jeremiah, and he knows each of us. He knows everything there is to know about us. So Jeremiah prays that God will remember the persecution that he has received. He has suffered persecution from Jewish leaders, from the priests, from the people. Is God also going to abandon Jeremiah and allow him to suffer? After all, this is all for God's sake that all of these things are happening to Jeremiah. He continues, "Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." If you've ever wondered over the last year why it is that we put the daily Bible reading in the bulletin, this right here is why. "Your words were found and I ate them. Your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart." God's word here is described like food which we eat, which nourishes us and strengthens us. God's word, after all, is and should be as important to us as physical food, as we need to eat daily, multiple times a day, to nourish our body. We need to feast on God's word daily in order to nourish our spiritual body, our soul. God's word in Jeremiah's mouth is God's presence with him, and God's word in your hands is a reminder of God's presence with you. Jeremiah continues, "I did not sit in the company of revelers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because your hand was upon me, for you had filled me with indignation." Jeremiah here turns back away from God and from his word to consider those around him. He doesn't find joy in the same things that his contemporaries are doing, the idolatry and pagan feasting. Because God has shown him that all of this is meaningless. None of this is going to bring any joy. It all only leads to destruction. So he asks in 18, "Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? And I wonder, while reading this verse, whether Jeremiah is looking at the world or looking at God. He knows what will happen to Jerusalem. God has revealed it to him that Jerusalem will fall. At the same time, how is his reliance on God saving him from this destruction when he continues to live among these people who reject him and thereby reject God, who persecute him for his message from God, and who are continually arresting him and telling him not to speak his message from God? And so God responds in 19, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them." And this is another one where it's kind of hard to parse out whether this is God speaking to Jeremiah, or God speaking through Jeremiah to the people. But I think the key is at the end, they shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. Here is God's message for Jeremiah. Return to God, trust in God. God will be with him. Jeremiah has not been abandoned here. Even as he continues to proclaim God's rejection of Jerusalem and thereby be himself rejected by Jerusalem, God calls him to continue speaking God's word to God's people, who will hear and respond to Jeremiah's message. Jeremiah himself will not fall away, but the people will hear. And so verse 20, "And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord." And this right here is the promise. Even though the people reject Jeremiah, God still will not reject him. Even though the people fight against Jeremiah, they're in fact fighting against God, and God is the one who preserves Jeremiah, because God is with him. "And I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless." Here is God's promise to deliver Jeremiah, even though Jeremiah fears what the people can do to him. He promises Jeremiah redemption. God promises to be with Jeremiah in his word, and yet, so then we have to ask the question, what does this mean for us? Well, like Jeremiah, I think we sometimes do feel abandoned. We are faithful to God, faithful to his word, and yet the world rejects us. We trust in God and believe in him. We read scripture and take it to heart, and yet the world is so corrupted by sin, opposes everything God stands for, that it rejects him and thereby rejects us. How can we remain faithful under oppression or persecution for the sake of the gospel? The world rejects God, so it rejects us as well. It ignores God's word, so it does not listen to our message of God's word. And yet, God's promise is sure. God promises that he is with us. He gives us his word, recounting all his mighty works on our behalf through every page of the scripture. He gives us his spirit to strengthen our faith, keep us firm in the face of rejection and abandonment and persecution from the world. He is present with us in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper to strengthen our faith and keep us firm in spite of what happens around us. God's promises will always be fulfilled for us, even if the fulfillment seems long off. God's promises always will come true in Jesus. His words remain, his redemption remains near. It is ours in Jesus Christ. Listen again to verse 21, where God says that I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. God promises that he is near us. He promises that he will deliver us out of the hand of the wicked, that he will redeem us from the grasp of the ruthless. But how? How do we know that this will be the case for us? After all, his prophets suffered persecution. Jeremiah himself is imprisoned multiple times, then taken to a foreign land and killed by these people, despite God's words here, despite the truthfulness of God's message to him. The fact is, this promise is not, strictly speaking, for this life alone. We will suffer. We will struggle. But God's eternal salvation is sure. It remains ours. God will rescue us from this sin-stricken world. Wicked men will not be able to harm us eternally. Why not? Because wicked and ruthless men did kill someone. They did put a righteous man to death. And because they killed God's own son on our behalf, our redemption is certain. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.